This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. Okay, so you two have hopped into the cab, and you are on your way to Masterson Lobster and Co-op. Are you guys going to have any conversation about what just happened? Well, actually, she didn't even notice what was going on. You just kind of were like, whoop, onward now. So are you going to let her know? Or are you going to try to calm her down? Or are you going to try to distract her? What are you going to do?
Yeah, so I think like the opening shot for the session is it's the rear window of the car, and it's George turned, you know, his face in the back window, you know, as the car is receding, and then it cuts to inside. He, you know, turns to her because she's kind of like half looking too, and he grabs her arm, maybe a little bit harder than he intended to, and he says, "Did you tell anybody we were coming up here?"
And she's actually like surprised by like the, not the harshness, but like the, you know, how hard you were actually squeezing on her. And she like, it's not something where she's offended. It's almost like she's just kind of scared for a moment. And she's like, "No, of course not. Why would I, after all that's been happening, why would I tell anybody?"
I hate to do it, but I'm going to have to insight this.
Whoa, he doesn't trust her. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, of course. Try it out. We'll have it be a DL of 2.
It's an 8.
Okay. Yeah, she's definitely telling the truth. She hasn't told anybody. The only person that you know that she probably would have said something to would be her mom. And right. You would know that she would never tell anybody either.
Yeah, I mean, that would be his thought, but he's just like, he's in a little bit of a panic mode.
Oh, for sure.
So he lets her go and, you know, kind of squares himself to her and says, there was somebody went on the boat after we walked away, looked like, and then he stops and then he kind of like looks ahead to the cab driver and he says, you know what, let's not worry about it for right now. Let's get over there and take care of what we got to take care of.
Okay. I want you to roll me a perception.
All right.
DL of 2 again.
That's going to be a 7.
Okay.
Oh, I had an and on that.
Yeah, you do.
It's an and on both of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to add something to it, you can. I don't know if there's anything here, but if you think of something, go ahead. But you can just tell by her demeanor, she kind of understands where you're coming from. Like, okay, obviously, it's somebody that it's dangerous. Yeah. Obviously, you rushed them out of there because, you know, you were afraid that they would have seen you or followed you or whatever. So it doesn't calm her down, but you can tell there's a little bit more of a relaxation to her than there would have been if she wouldn't have realized what's happening.
So I want to use the first and to say that, like, I don't know how big, you know, big this town is. So I have two things, the two ends.
Yes.
First one is, the guy doesn't comment, you know, like doesn't say anything, really just eyes forward, you know, obviously mm-hmm. we're having a moment, doesn't try to like, what's that about or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done. And then I want to use the second one to, you know, we make all the lights, like we get there, like, you know, record time, so to speak, like we're, boom, you know, we make it without any trouble, no problems.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I love both of those. I was worried you're gonna be like, and the guy doesn't follow you, and I'm like, that's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna, I mean, it doesn't mean he's not gonna follow you now, but again, I didn't want to be like, oh, he lost you forever. Like, I don't think I would be able to let that happen. But I love both of those ants. Yeah, for sure. You like, yeah, the, let's just say like the cab driver is like, he wants his fare. but also you can almost tell he's like in a hurry to get like the next one or something. So like, and then all of a sudden, same thing. It's just like all of a sudden you're hitting all these green lights. Even at some point, like this other cab, like tries to like get in front of the cab that you guys have. And he like kind of like goes around him really nice and neat and just kind of gets you to your destination in a great time.
When we pull up, I think I say, so again, I, you know, as far as what's appropriate cost and stuff for, you know, the 40s, I'm not sure, right? Like we said, like $5 is a lot of money, right?
Yep.
Relative to whatever. So I think I say to him, you want to make a quick extra $5?
And he looks in the mirror and he says, who isn't?
You wait here. We'll be back in 5 minutes, maybe. And then there's another five in the end when we get there.
He says, I won't even put you on the clock. And he actually taps it and turns it off.
Good man. He taps the roof. So we'll be right back.
Nice.
So as we're like kind of hustling then in down the wharf towards the door, whatever our external situation is, I just lean into her. I've kind of like got her elbow, like we're close, you know, kind of quick walking. And I'm like, when we got off the boat, I took a look back when we came up the dock, and the guy in a suit looked like he was leaning on that old guy that we were talking to. I assume we're going to have company here real quick. So we're going to have to find your pops and get out of here. I don't know where we're going to go after this. Maybe we ran out of a hotel under, alternate name. This place didn't look like it's too big. So I don't know how easy it's going to be to find somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she like shakes her head like, so like totally understanding. She's like, yep, okay. And she kind of like winces a little bit. And she goes, I really hope that old man's okay, gonna be okay.
I don't know. I hope so. I don't think that goon would do anything in the middle of the daytime. It's pretty crowded down there.
I would feel so bad.
No, we can't worry about that right now. We, you know, hustle in, you know, camera cuts of them, like, you know, pushing the door open. You know, what are we looking at here? Is it a dock here? Is it more of like a processor? Is it a...
For sure. Yeah. We'll set the scene. So like before you even like decide to go inside. So there is this, it's a nice big square building. It says Masterson's Lobster and Co-op. The sign says open. The door looks like it's open, ready to go. To the right, there is a hustle and bustle because there are people putting stuff into crates and putting them into trucks. And there's lots of people. And a lot of people aren't really paying attention to you because they're just trying to get their stuff done. And there's a guy that's just kind of standing there, and he's got like slick back, black hair, kind of receding hairline, about 5'6", 5'7". Has a little bit of weight to him. He may look at one time that he may have had some muscle on him, but it's kind of withered away a little bit. He's probably in his like, I'm going to say like mid 50s. He's got kind of like a crisp white shirt, nice tan, like suit coat, and then khaki pants and shiny black shoes. And he's just kind of directing everybody, and he's like, all right, let's make sure we get all the catch. Hold on. That's not the voice I want for him. I wanted to have a special voice for this guy. All right, you guys, we're going to make sure we get all everything in those trucks, and make sure you get stuff in the crates, get into the trucks, you know, make sure everything's the fresh for everybody. All right. So make sure Lou, I want you to make sure you got about, what's a good poundage for lobster? I don't know what, make sure you got like a good, 50 pounds in here. Greg, I want to make sure you have, you know, let's do like 35 here. I think that's what, hold on. I have names for different deliveries, and now where did I put it? Who knows? Yeah, I remember. I think it's like 35 to 40 pounds for Lounsdale's. All right. All right. Jesus Christ. Can't think of names anymore. Jason, we got to make sure we got like at least 65, 70 pounds for the coast, because the coast is always busy, always busy. We got to make sure we got lots of stuff going on. And so like he's kind of yelling everything and everybody's just kind of doing their thing. I want you to roll a perception check for me and we'll have the DL before.
That is going to be an 8. I got 2 sixes.
Okay. All right. So the guy that's kind of pointing everything out and kind of pointing to everybody and making everybody do stuff, like, you can tell he's in charge. Like, you know, either he's Masterson or he is the manager or whatever. And he's like really just kind of pointing things out and blah, blah, blah. Everybody else is very like trying to get stuff as quickly as they can into boxes, get stuff into the car. And like, and there's not like any leeway for like, there's no leeway for like fucking around. So like, you can tell they're just like getting as much stuff as they can in as possible, that kind of thing. The trucks that they have for what they're shipping seems like they're too big for what they're shipping, but you know, it's one of those things you don't really know about lobster shipments and what else they got going on. So that, you know, they could have other co-op stuff, you know, they probably have other seafood. They probably have other, like, you know, it could be other like groceries and stuff like that, because it is a co-op. So they have other things as well. And And the guys that are actually packing up everything, they look very serious and very like very to a point. Like, they don't want anybody messing with what they got going on. They just want to get their stuff in their trucks and get out.
Right. And Danny walks out the front door with smoke.
You wish. What do you want your Anne to be?
I mean, so see if this makes sense. And the guy sees us approaching.
Yes.
And like, specifically, like, hey, what are you doing? Right. Like,
we
don't get customers here. Right? Like, it's a co-op. We load shit and whatever. Like, what are you?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Right. As opposed to me walking up and being like, excuse me, sir. Can I have a moment of your time?
Yeah. No, that's perfect. To tell you the truth, that was something I was planning to do the whole time. So that's a perfect.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he kind of turns around and he says, what are you guys doing here? You know, what's going on here? Is there something I can help you with? And he looks at you and gets kind of like a like what the fuck are you doing here face. But then he looks at Jane and he kind of lightens up a bit. He's like, oh, what can I do for you? And he kind of like gets himself like all kind of gussied up a little bit.
He says, you know, I don't want to interrupt that. It seems like you got a well-oiled machine going on here. It looks like everything's real busy. We're also a little short on time right now. I'm looking for Danny Klondike. Is he in today?
Ah, of course, Danny. And he turns to the guys behind him and he snaps his fingers twice and they close the doors and start getting in their trucks to get going. Oh, Mr. Klondike, huh? He's like, is it just you looking for him, or are you Dollface? Are you looking for him? And he like looks at Jane and kind of like winks at her, and she doesn't say anything.
He says, no, you know, we go way back. I heard he was up here. We were, we were on vacation, so I thought, you know, we were here. We, you know, maybe stop in. I know he's probably busy with stuff, but like, I just like to, you know, to come in and say hey, and you know, just see if we like grab a beer later or something.
And he's
is that a fast talk? Like, I don't know.
yeah, definitely. I was like, wait a minute, you're bullshitting. Yep, go on fast talk. I'm gonna make that a deal of five.
Okay, is it opposed? Does he need to roll, or you just want to set a deal? I guess that's up to you.
You know what? I actually like that. Let's do an opposed roll.
Would he? I don't know if he would have some sort of insight or not.
Knowing
his like as character, a skill, yeah.
Yes, he would. Okay. Yeah. Yep, because he you know, he works a lot with, you know, his business and stuff like that. So he kind of has to have a keen eye on things. So that's a six for him.
That's a six. I got a seven.
Oh, nice. So, yeah. So like he.
So that's a yes for me then, right? Because he's not. Okay. Yeah. Because I'm thinking like, fuck, is that like a no but for him? But it's my role, I guess, right?
Yes for you. Yep, correct. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Otherwise it would be different. Like if he was up by one, then it would be a yes for him. He'd be able to be like, okay, you're bullshitting. Yeah. So he's like, let's say he believes you, but like he also has a weird, you almost can tell he has a suspicion in his head. He's just, it's not that he doesn't distrust you, but maybe you think that he knows Daniel a little better and stuff like that. So he's like, okay, nobody ever comes to look for Daniel. So what's happening here kind of thing. Yeah. So he's like, oh yeah, yeah, Daniel. Yeah. Oh, Daniel, love Daniel. You know, he's always one of those guys that, you know, he comes in early, he stays up, he stays late. He's always cleaning up the co-op, you know, working the front counter when, you know, people are sick or whatever, people are out. Yeah, Daniel, he's great. Unfortunately, he's not working today. Today's his day off.
Oh, no kidding. Insight.
go for it. We're going to have a DL of 2 again.
Okay. That's an 8 again.
Okay. Yeah. No, he's not lying. He's got the day off.
Geez, I can't believe that we missed him. Is he your local? Is it a place he likes to hang out? Maybe I could, you got a number for him? I just give him a call.
And
I don't necessarily want to play the PI card, especially if these other people are showing up. Although I guess the other guy had the card. So
yeah, I'm trying to think if he would actually do that for you.
I assume not. Right.
Yeah. I think he wouldn't, just because, you know, a lot of times, even back then, and I'm sure, you know, especially nowadays, someone comes looking for somebody at their work and like, hey, do you got a number for this? No, we don't have a number for this guy. That's our thing, you know? So he's like, yeah, I don't think I really give that out. That's kind of like not a good business, business plan, that kind of thing. You know, I don't know if he's got something going on. You know, I don't really feel comfortable giving his information.
You know what? I appreciate that. You're a good dude for doing that. Look, no bullshit. You know, he like looks around. He goes to, you know, pull out his wallet, and presumably he can see like the handle of the pistol, right?
Yeah.
And he pulls out his wallet and he puts hands up, you know, pulls out his wallet, you know, flicks a card to him. He says, my name is George Armstrong. I'm a private investigator. Danny's not in any trouble. Well, Danny might be in some trouble. Which is trying to get a hold of him. So if you can direct me to where he's at, I think that's going to be best for everybody.
You don't say, huh? Do me a perception check. Or if it's insight, if you want to read him.
Yeah, if it's more, I mean, either way, it's a +2 for me. So that's a 7. Yeah,
okay. Okay. All right. So he is not surprised that you're looking for him for a reason.
Well, I don't like that.
So he's like, he's in some kind of trouble. Of course I'll help. Yeah. You know what? I don't have that stuff like memorized. So you know what? Why don't you come in the co-op? We'll look him up.
This is a stupid question. Do I trust him? Right. Like, so does the insight get me like this guy's trying to get me to stay here, or this guy is that actually going to give me a phone number?
If you want to use that as your and, you could.
Yes, I want to use that as my and.
Yeah, so in this instance, you feel like he is being truthful, that he wants to help you find his address.
Okay. I lean...
I'll give you something extra. You don't feel like you can really trust him, though.
Yeah, that was kind of that's kind of what I was getting, but I just wanted to make sure this wasn't setting me up sort of thing, or, you know, did I feel like it was setting me up? Right.
Yeah.
He says, you know what? That'd be great. Just give me 1 second. And he takes her by the elbow, like a couple of steps away, and he leans in real close and he says, go get in the cab, go to the library. You know, fishes out 10 bucks, gives her 10 bucks. I don't know how far I am away from anything. I don't care. I don't want her there if this guy shows up, because this isn't taking entirely too long now. I'm like, go to public library. I'll meet you there. Just lose yourself in the stacks. Okay.
And she's like, how are you going to find me?
Look, don't worry about it. It's my job.
And she's like, and she's apprehensive about doing so. She knows where you're coming from, but she also doesn't want to be alone. So you can kind of read that on her face. Like she almost like she's kind of half turning, like she wants to get to the cab, but she also is like, is it really going to be safe for me?
How far away is the cab from where we are?
Let's say it's like, it's not that far, like 30 feet, maybe.
I don't know. Because presumably, like, even if the guy is coming here, well, but if he sees her in the cab, right? Like, if she waits in the cab and the guy walks up, and that's a whole other problem. I guess if he comes while she's driving away, I guess that's another, you know what I mean? Like all this stuff is running through his mind. Like, shit, if he sees her and he says, you know what? You know what? You're right. You're right. Like he just like, you know, finger up to the cabbie, like just a minute, just a minute.
Yeah. 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 He kind of waves back like, I got money. I don't care.
He says, all right. Yeah. Let's go. Let's go.
All right.
So I appreciate you doing this.
Oh, you're just saying that to
him. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yep. And he's like, no problem. You know, Daniel's a good friend. So, you know, anything to help out a friend. So, you know, he opens the door. He, you know, they go past the front counter. There's somebody working there, you know, and the lady at the front counter is just kind of watching you guys walk by. She kind of gives a quizzical look because no one ever seems to kind of, you know, go by unless they're, you know, either buying or bringing something there, that kind of thing. So she's kind of like, what's happening? You know, you guys go in the back. He's got a little office. It's really cramped. It's got like paperwork everywhere. It's got people's schedules. It's got orders, you know, a bunch of paperwork on the, it's like all, it's disorganized, but organized chaos kind of thing. And he's like, oh yeah, here's the files right here. And he like goes to one of the drawers, opens it up. And he's like, dun, 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 dun. He's like, Daniel, Klondike. Here we go. Daniel Klondike. It looks like he's, that's his address. It's 238 Fifth Street. Not that far from here. He's probably a good like 5 minutes from here. So not too far.
Yeah, you got a phone order for him?
Yep. And he gives you the phone number. I'm not
555.
1-2-3-4. 555. 5555.
Really, really appreciate it. You know, it's, I think you're doing him a big favor.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You know, again, if he's in trouble, you know, if there's anything else I can help you with, just let me know. Peter Johnson. And he puts out his hand.
Well, thanks, Mr. Johnson. I appreciate your help. And, hopefully everything works out, good for everybody.
I hope so. I don't want him calling in tomorrow, you know, and he kind of like gives you a little bit of an elbow.
We'll make sure he's here on time.
Perfect. And you, I didn't get your name. And he points to Jane or whatever. And she goes, and she doesn't, at first, it almost like she doesn't want to say anything, but she's like, Jane. And she kind of puts out her hand and he like shakes her hand and he's like, oh, very nice to meet you. I tell you, with all these goons out here, you don't really see a pretty face. And she kind of, like tries to blush, but you could tell she's still kind of like scared about what's going on and stuff like that. She like kind of gives like a nervous laugh or whatever. And she's like, yep, nice to meet you.
I kind of like, I don't stare him down, but I also kind of give him like, what the fuck? What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell he thinks he's hot shit and no one else does. So,
yeah. Maybe George is a private investigator, try to assuage him a little bit more, right? More so than I'm coherent to come up with. so maybe there's like a little bit of small talk as we're walking out, just like, you know, whatever. I don't know. I mean, PI stuff.
Yeah.
But as we're walking out, I'm also like my eyes are on the door. Like he's talking in my ear about Lobster and Danny and yada, yada, yada. But like my eyes are on the door. And if I see someone coming in because everybody left, we're scooting in a different direction.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I don't know how much time we have. And this feels like a very long time.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. So like. Yeah, you start heading out. You go through his door, and you see nothing.
Okay.
You know, no one's coming by, no one's coming in. You get outside. You don't see anybody by the cab. You don't see anything approaching. It's a busy day,
right?
But you know what? Roll me a perception check just to see if you see anything.
Ooh, they're going down. That's a 6, though.
Nice. That's good. Nope. That's good. Surprisingly, you don't see anybody. You see cars heading your way, but you don't recognize the guy in the suit.
Right. I don't see another cab coming in this direction or whatever.
Well, you do see cabs, but oh, okay. you don't, like, that's the first thing you see. You're like, oh, cab. And you're like, that's a woman. Okay. We're all good.
Gotcha. Okay. So, I don't know. Like, can I make a brains check? Cause I don't know. Right. I mean, give me some help here. Yeah. If it makes sense, like in his mind then, right? Like he's a private investigator, especially considering what just happened, be like, hey, there might be somebody that shows up here looking for him. Don't tell him where he is, right? Like,
yeah.
I think he would have to, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like you can, like, okay.
No, I think he would have to, right? Like even with an age of no cell phones, we're like just a step ahead of this guy if he's following in our footsteps, so to speak.
Yes.
But I also don't know if he's waiting for us to exit, right? Mm-hmm. So like, again, this is all George's thought process. We talk to the old guy with the lobster boat. We leave. Goon comes in and leans on him. He probably gives up the information because, like, you know, I'm not getting beat up over some random guy that I don't know who's asking about.
Yeah.
Danny, who I kind of know, you know, maybe is a friend of his in some kind of way. So if the guy knows who I am, and I don't know that or not, but, it, you know, he's got the card, right? So, like, even if he gives him the card or he takes the card or, like, who the fuck is that guy, whatever, I'm presumably going to find the information. So he doesn't have to do anything other than follow us, right?
Yeah.
Because a low profile is better for him. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, well, shit, if we leave here and go there, he's found. If that guy comes here, because maybe he's too dumb to let me do my job, then he goes there afterwards, right? Yeah. So like now I'm like, I don't really know where to go, if we should go get him or not go get him.
Yeah. So,
but I feel like I need to tell this guy, like, hey, if somebody shows up, don't tell him where Danny lives, because it's going to be bad. Right. Yeah,
for sure. Well, roll me a brains check. I'm going to have it be really low. It'll be another two again, because you've got a lot of information, right?
That's a five.
Nice. So let's go through some things. Like, you've already done it for a lot of it. So I might be spouting the same things, but maybe I'll say something new. So, okay. Say this guy is following you. Okay. He hasn't gotten to you yet. And if he comes here, like you said, he could get the information from Peter Johnson, but maybe you don't. Say that you have the information, but then you decide to hole up and not go over to Carson/Daniel's house or place or whatever, that he doesn't get a heads up of what's happening. And then he either, you know, comes to work or does something else. And then he's found and something happens.
Yeah.
But there's also, like what you said, like there's also a chance that, you know, if he's close enough that when you get in your taxi and you go over there, that he could follow you to there. But if you get out quick enough, there might be a chance that that doesn't happen. And then there's a possibility that Peter Johnson either doesn't give up the information or something happens and then gives up information, but then you're still ahead. So there's a lot of different things to kind of think of. Since you have an and, I will give you this if you're willing. I will say that from what you can tell from how quickly you got here, that this guy's probably holed up on some lights. And if you get out of here fast enough, you probably won't be followed.
Okay. I'll take that.
Okay.
Right. Because if that's a true statement, then us going there is the direction that we obviously go there. Right.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a little bit meta because you're like, hey, you're not going to be followed. It's like, oh, clearly I'm going to go there then. Right. Like,
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, psych, he followed you the whole way, you dumb bastard.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, and the cool thing about core is that ands can be something that's good and kind of fun and like,
yeah,
I think some people can take ands and make them overpowered, but like for this storyline, I feel like that's a good, like, okay, so like even if you're, you know, not good at like distances and time and like how the stoplights are, but like you guys made really good time, so you probably shaved off a few minutes here and there,
right?
Where
right.
He's probably stuck in traffic or something, and like, okay, obviously there's a chance that we could be followed. But again, it's not like you're not going to be checking behind you and being like, okay, are they there or are they not?
Right. And we don't know, like, if he was giving the guy a hard time, maybe some other boat guys came over and like, who are you? What are you doing here? You get out of here. You know, so that can turn into a bigger kerfuffle over there that we
aren't
even aware of. Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I try not to, and even though my brain kind of is all over the place at times, like, I try not to be like, that's the thing that's happening. Because again, just like you said, like, he could have gotten a tussle with the old man. Some other guys could have come and maybe he could have got arrested. Who knows? We don't know what happened because we don't see that.
Right.
So there's a lot of possibilities. But of course, probably in George's head, he's probably like, fuck, he's coming. We got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So I think as they get to the front door, you know, if he walks us back out, you know, I just turn on, I put out my hand, and when he goes to shake, I give him, you know, I give him a firm handshake. Right. But then I hold his hand and I'm like, look, somebody else might be coming. They're not too nice. I'm not sure where they came from. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, but I know they're looking for Danny. If he comes in and leans on you, don't give him up. I mean, I don't know how well you like him. You say he's a friend of yours. That's great. If you tell him where Danny is, it's not going to be good for him. You know, you want to call the cops, whatever. That's up to you. I'll leave that to you. But this isn't, he's not a good guy. And, strong eye contact, you know, I'm holding his hand. I'm not letting him go. Like, this is important, you dirtbag. Like,
that's awesome. I love that. Yeah. So he, I won't have you roll for this. When you're shaking his hand, it's not like when someone goes aggressive in and then just like all of a sudden you're like, oh God, that hurt. You know, that, like, it's almost like he expects you to do that. And he gets this kind of like half smile on his face. And he kind of looks at you and he like, after you kind of shake, he kind of puts his hands up and he goes, it's okay. I like Daniel. I ain't no snitch.
I think he just nods and then, you know, they take off. He, right. You know, opens the door for her, you know, gets her in the cab, you know, look over, you know, top of the cab, looking around, make sure that no one looks like they're waiting for us to leave. And then, you know, hops in and says, step on it, 238 Fifth Street.
Okay. Roll me a perception check. Boy, this is all perception today. That's what I'm going to call this one. Perception.
It's like your D&D game.
Exactly. It's like any game I play.
No, that's only a 4.
Oh, okay.
Those dice are out.
So, so that is gonna be it. So was the deal was gonna be a 5. I'm sorry, I never said it.
So that's a no but.
No but. Okay. So you hear or you see Johnson turn around and start running towards the door, and he yells something. But you can't hear what he's yelling.
Mm, so I just like, I see him like as I turn back around, you know, because like again, look up, I get in the car and close the door. And as I turn, as we're pulling away, I just see him like.
Yep. Yeah. It's, but like, it's he's too like late. Shouting something. He's shouting something at the co-op and kind of raising his hand, but you don't understand what he's saying.
Oh, it sucks. All right. Well, I'm not going to make him stop because. Again, this feels like it's taking way too long.
Yeah, for sure. So like, yeah. The cabbie's like, where to, boss?
238 Fifth Street. Come in from the back.
All right.
Like if there's a back street or whatever, you know, like down the side or whatever.
For sure. He knows exactly what you're talking about. It's not his first rodeo. He's a taxi driver in Portland. So he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, yeah, traffic is actually pretty light going towards this place. It is a nice little house, very small, one level. It's got like a I'm trying to think of what they had back then. Let's just say it's like just like brown on the outside. Because a lot of muted colors back then, maybe some oranges and stuff like that, but mostly outside is probably just like a nice brown. There is a front door, and then as you guys go around to the back, there is like a back door with like a small porch door in the back.
Okay. I scoot up, pay the guy, $10 and say, I ain't never seen you.
He's like, and who are you again? And he tips his hat and speeds away.
So we, you know, again, I'm head on a swivel, right? Like I'm looking for a guy in a suit, or a scuzzy guy in a suit, I guess, because everybody's probably wearing a suit in 47 or whatever. Yeah, so I think we come up the side street. Like, I wouldn't enter through the back door because if he knows he's wanted, I don't want to get shot either, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they would knock on the back door. Yeah, I think they do come in from the back. Like, it's not fenced off or whatever, right? Or, you know, like, there's gate or whatever.
Yeah, no, there's like, yeah, there's like, there is a fence, but it goes from the front to kind of the side, and it's not fenced in.
Okay. Hedges or anything kind of obscuring view? Or whatever, like between neighbors sort of thing. Doesn't have to be. I'm just painting a word picture.
It's Portland, Maine. So yeah, there probably would be some shrubbery there. Yep, for sure.
Okay. I just like, I take both of her hands in my hands and I say, are you ready for this? It's not the best of circumstances. I'm sorry.
And she's like, I don't think I was expecting easy.
He just nods. Puts, slips an arm around her waist. They, go up the back porch steps and bang, bang, bang on the door.
So it has a little like a screen door, and then it has the like a wood back door. So you make a loud bang, 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 and the wood door just creaks open just a tick.
Does he say anything?
No one opened the door. It fell open from the banging.
I think he says shit. Like, he pushes her behind him, pulls out the pistol, and he knocks on not on the metal frame, but like on the door frame, rap, rap, rap. He says, Danny, you in there?
You hear silent.
He opens up the screen door and, pistol down. Yep. Right. Again, I don't get shot by her dad.
Yeah.
But pistol down, her behind me. And he'll start to sweep the house, right? Comes in, left, right, eyes forward, look, and he just keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, for sure. So you come in from the back door leads into like a kitchen area. And just by looking at the kitchen area, you can actually see through the kitchen area into the living area. And then you can see that like there's a hallway to your right that has a bedroom, or what you presume to be a bedroom. The bedroom door is closed, and from what you can see, the kitchen and the living room are tossed. There's cupboards open. There's like cereal on the floor. There's food on the floor. The refrigerator is open. Things are poured out of it. You can see in the living room, things are knocked to the floor. You can see that there's like pictures on the wall of what you assume is Daniel / Carson. You actually see some old pictures of Jane as well, because you can tell from seeing, like, you can see a resemblance, unless it's a sister that she doesn't know about. Because and this is something I don't think we've ever talked about, but she's a single child. So you would presume that is her.
And she probably has pictures of the family from, I've been over to her place, right? So she probably got pictures of the family. Something. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I don't relax, but I say, it looks like maybe our friend beat us here. Again, he'll just continue. Like, it's in disarray. So like, I don't feel like anything is going to stick out in the moment, right? Like, he's sweeping and clearing. I'm looking for a body, right? Like,
yeah.
So he's, moves from kitchen to front of the house, and then sweep around to the other side, assuming, like this is kind of open here, and then come back around, check the bathroom, check the shower, check the closets. Maybe he's hiding somewhere, right? Like, I don't know. Balled up in the closet, whatever. I don't think so, but obviously check all those things to see if anyone is here. Does it smell like anything? Does it smell like rot? I don't think so, because they wouldn't have tossed the place. I mean, I guess if they tossed the place and then killed them, if they found, you know what I mean? Like any number of things. So yeah,
for sure. I will have you roll an investigation check just because we're going to get you some information here. Okay. I'm going to have the DLB, why should we have it high or low? Oh, you know what? It's going to be high today. It's going to be high now. It's going to be a 5.
Do you want to do a graduated role?
Oh, I suppose we could, because we can get you some information that way, for sure.
Right, because then depending on how I rolled, be how many pieces of information or whatever.
Yeah. I got information for days. So you know what? So let's roll it.
All right. Before we do that, have I cleared the house, or is this like an ongoing as we're sort of working through the house stuff that sort of sticks out?
No, I think we could probably do it all at the same time. So yeah, you clear it out. You don't. The only thing that smells bad is like bad like food. You know, just stuff on the floor and crap like that kind of thing.
Right.
You're kind of surprised that the bedroom door is closed, but you open it up and nothing seems to be, I mean, besides everything being tossed, like nothing seems to be different for some reason. So,
okay, I think that's a 6. That is a 6. So my investigate, that's going to be an 8.
Jeez.
Give me all the info, baby.
All right, I can do this. Even if I don't have anything, I can definitely give you some things. So I'm going to write 1 through 8, and when I give you the information, I'm going to cross it off. Okay, so, and again, some of these are going to be ancillary, but I think they kind of make sense for the story. So the first thing you see is what I kind of told you before. You see old pictures of, like, Jane. You see, like, pictures of Daniel and Jane when she was a baby. Jane eating some ice cream as a toddler, her dancing as a young girl. There is a picture of her graduating high school, and you're like, there is no way that he could get that without being there or finding a way to do that, because she hasn't seen him since she was younger. So that's like a question, like, okay, how did he get the picture of her graduating high school? Mm-hmm. Another thing you see is Daniel and Peter Johnson shaking each other's hand. He's holding in his arm an Employee of the Month plaque. Daniel these days, Carson, is 5'6", combed over, beautiful, light brown hair and blue eyes. Again, I think I talked about this before, like he had kind of a different look back then, but this is what he looks like now. Mm-hmm. He still kind of has a like muscular and a corn fed kind of way, dresses really nice and kind of has a $1 million smile. You also see that he has there's like on the counter, he's got a check stub for Masterson's co-op. So, you know that like he's employed there, you know that for real.
Is his hair short? Combed over, yes. So I assume it's relatively short.
Malcolm. So because before he had kind of like a, I think like a crew cut, I think I said, when he was younger. So now it's like, you know, a little less and kind of combed over, but like in a good, in a nice way where he's still very.
Yeah.
There is also so I'm not going to be able to give you everything just because I don't want to just start making up shit to give you shit, but I'm going to give you lots of like information that you're going to want to know. Okay.
Yeah.
So you see that there is in the living room, you come upon a false piece of wood on the floor, and you pull it apart and you see that you can pull a couple of more. And this was kind of like under one of, like the chairs, which is something that they didn't find, but you did. And you see that there is this safe that is in the that little cubby. Mm-hmm. And you see that it's completely wide open and nothing is in it.
Okay. And it's one of those things where like they toss the chair and the chair kind of dislodges, but the guy was, you know, like aggravated rushing through, so like didn't turn back to see, like it was just up like a little bit. Exactly. Sort of thing. Yeah
exactly. Yep. He's not a private investigator, you are, so you're right. Gonna find that and he won't.
I'm a damn professional.
That's right.
Ooh, George, let me throw this out. I don't know if this is a thing or not, but I'll help you with your eight.
Yes.
As we're in the living room, which presumably is where the front door is going to open, is the front door, is the lock look like it's been jimmied? Is the door kicked open? Is the door frame broke? Like, is there that sort of like this guy busted in and like tried to catch him sort of thing?
Yep. Again, we're on this, me and you, simpatico on the same wavelength. So you notice two things. You notice that the back door is completely unmolested. So like you presume that maybe they left out the back door and unlocked it and just left. The front door has been jimmied. You can tell that somebody used a crowbar, busted kind of the seam or whatever and got in that way. Lastly, you see a overturned phone book on the counter and you flip it to the opposite side and you realize that this phone book is turned towards the H's and it's under hotels. And upon further review, you're kind of looking. You're not seeing anything. You're not seeing any check marks or any circles or anything like that. But there is an ad for the Mondale Hotel. And you can tell that there is some kind of dirty hand thumbprint on that spot.
Okay. Like just like a little smudge in the ink because it has that shitty like newsprint kind of paper. So like there's maybe just a little bit of a smudge.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't notice, right? If you weren't like, it's one of those things, right? Like, again, he's a professional. So like you can just look at it and it looks normal. But if you really look at the whole page in context, there's like just a little bit of a, and I think like Jane, like, point some of the stuff out. Like she sees the picture. She grabs the picture of like her high school graduation is like, but the, like, how could he, you know, did he come right? Like, and it puts her like in a whole other, like, oh my God, maybe he was there. He saw, you know, was there with me, you know, even though I didn't know it sort of thing. So I think there's some stuff that she kind of like some of the obvious things, like maybe she grabs the check stub, you know, obviously the pictures on the wall, him like Masterson and stuff, like he's looking at that, but like also kind of like, yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. But she's like, oh, but look, there's this, right? You know, like he finds the thing on the floor, right? Or like the thumb, the smudge and the thing, like some of the more technical things he's keying into where she's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Cause we don't want to leave her out of it. Obviously she, once the house is clear, she's probably like wandering the space, right? Like her dad lived here. Like this is his place, right? Like it's has his smell, you know, I don't know if she would remember like his smell from when she was a kid sort of thing. Right. But I assume like she has a whole other thing that's happening while like George's thing is happening. Like there's two separate.
Oh yeah.
Bubbles of things that are happening. You know, her it's more like on a visceral familial level where he's like, gotta find information. Like, where's the body? Yeah. Oh shit, he grabbed all of his cash and he bolted to this hotel. You know what I mean? Like he's getting the pieces together where she was like, oh, you know, this is where shit, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's perfect because she like kind of like, you know, she sees some of the young pictures or whatever and she gets a little bit of a tear in her eye. Maybe one like falls off on one of the pictures, you know. And, you know, she's kind of like a little melancholy and stuff like that. And then she sees the high school graduation picture and she like brightens up a little bit, like he actually does care. And like he was there and like and maybe she even talks it out a little bit. She's just kind of like he did really care. Like he wanted to be there, but he also like didn't want to like put me and my mom in harm's way, you know, and, maybe he really did love me, that kind of thing. And, you know, like still that validation that she really wants, you know, and she really is hoping for.
Yeah. And he would try to comfort, you know, as best as he can. Right. Like, yeah, you know, he was in a bad spot. You know, I'm sure you were always super important to him, you know, yada, yada. It was better, you know, safer for you if he wasn't around, even though that's kind of crappy, but, you know, people make choices and yada, yada, you know, like just trying to help her kind of process some of that stuff. Yeah. I think he takes down the picture of the employee of the month. So we have, a picture of what he looks like. Yeah. Like, I think he does like after like all of that, right? Like he does like the slow spin, the camera kind of follows, right? It's like sort of like taking them in, but also like taking in the disarray of, you know, what's happened in this house. And like, you know, it mirrors the you know, like the chaos of this guy's life, you know, on some cinematic level of like, yeah, you know, yeah. This is a, you know, nice little, you know, I can't think of that, you know, middle class home, you know, everything should be, you know, kind of set. You could sort of see where like, you know, some of the stuff, like everything was in order, but now, you know, there's this disarray and like, you know, there's pictures of the family, but then there's chaos because he, you know, left, like that kind of stuff. So it just sort of mirrors what's happening in the story. This is the, like, you know, camera kind of like does its slow spin around. Shit, it's still like early-ish, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the day, because yeah, it was Friday morning when we headed over to the, oh no, we left early in the morning, but I think it was a short trip, right? So then we left at like 7:30. So we got up there about 9:30, checked in, went over. So like it's maybe noonish.
Yep.
1 o'clock, sure. Maybe, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think he says, you know, again, like, you know, hands on her shoulders, you know, and you know, focus on me sort of thing, you know. Mm. Says, look, I think maybe this is good, kinda. Looks like they tossed the place, so obviously they didn't find him. He's not here. I found, you know, the safe there in a floor, so it looks like maybe he still had a little bit of a stash of cash. And then I think I know where he's staying. I don't think the other guy, you know, would have picked up on it, or else he still wouldn't have been looking around, right? It looks like he came here first, so he's probably trying to, you know, lean on anybody who might know Danny or Carson, your dad. He's like, fuck. So we got a couple options. I mean, we go over to the hotel, you know, we can, you know, we go try to, you know, go try to grab him. Hopefully this goon doesn't catch up. We could also go to the police, but I don't know how well that's going to go for your dad though. He made good. He spent his time in, he got out, but I, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and you can tell just by on the look of her face, like she's weighing all the options, and you can tell like she knows what danger is lurking around every corner at this point, and you can tell that the anticipation is still very high for her. So basically, she says, I have to see him.
I think he just nods. And says, okay. I respect that. I mean, we can let him make the decision. If he wants to, you know, get in some kind of police protection, whatever. I don't know, you know, if they've been looking for him all this time. I don't know how they found him. I don't know. Maybe somebody followed us. The guy didn't look familiar, but, you know, I'm not up on all my mafia trivia. You know what I mean?
She shakes her head. She's like, I know. It's a dangerous business you're in. And she's like, it's like she doesn't want to say it, but she says it anyway. She says, I'm sorry I'm putting you through this.
He doesn't say anything for a second. And then, you know, he pulls her in, you know, for a hug, you know, gives her like a tight hug. And he says, look, you don't worry about me. You know, we're going to get you together with your dad. This is, I do anything for you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what else to say. Right. So
like yeah, for sure. Yeah. So yeah, like she kind of like puts her head kind of on your chest or whatever. And then she kind of pulls your head down and gives you a kiss on the cheek. She says, I know. Thank you.
Look, I just want to make sure that you're okay. Are you all right? I mean, we're not through this yet. Okay. Just keep your eyes peeled. If you see anything, you let me know.
I will.
So I, you know, I think at some point, you know, after they cleared the house, he'd put his pistol away and everything. So he tries to lock the front, like just make sure that it's closed. He'll like flip the thumb, you know, on the top if it'll hold. Does it look like he, and we may not be able to tell, does it look like he grabbed clothes? And again, we might not be able to tell because of the disarray in the room. If they like dumped the drawers or like just threw shit out of the drawers or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume he grabbed his cash and left, right? I'm assuming that was
it. yeah, I'll just give it to you. Yeah, it looks like he just hightailed. He didn't care about clothes. He just wanted to get the hell out.
That makes sense. No, I mean, the other guy's technically professional too. No, no, like, clues left by the goon. There's no, like, nothing sticks out, right? Obviously, he wouldn't leave a note. But there doesn't seem to be anything. I don't even know what I would. I'm just trying to think if anything sticks out that, like, doesn't belong in the house, kind of thing. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it could be anything. You never know. No, actually, there's nothing left behind that, you know, there's like no crowbar. There's no like pocket square. You know, he like, you can tell like he knew exactly what he was doing and got the fuck out of there.
Yeah, which is what I assume. He's a professional in his own right.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that makes me feel good or bad, but I go out first, right? So I crack the door, peek as far as I can, open up the door, take a step out, pull out a cigarette like I'm living here, you know, take a puff, look around, you know, make sure there's nobody around. That looks clear. You know, have her come out. I lock the door and pull it closed. Like, he's probably not coming back here, but also like, I don't want people to like wander in.
Right? Yeah. Makes sense.
I guess there's no way to like get a sense of how long it's been since it's been broken into.
Yeah. You know, you've got a pretty good look on things.
Like, is there spoiled food in the fridge? Right. So like, yes, that would give me an indication if it would be a longer time as opposed to a shorter time, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's exactly, again, simpatico. That's what we're thinking.
You know, look in the trash. Like, is there a date on the package of meat that he had, you know, for dinner, you know, like that kind of thing? This day, you know, sort of stuff.
Yeah. You can tell that it literally is recently.
Okay. So I assume so.
Yeah. So it was either this morning before you got there, or presumably the evening or night before.
Which then leads me to think that maybe this guy doesn't know about us at all, found out for whatever means that he was up here, came to the house, now can't find him. So now is we went out and coming in, he went in, is now going out, right?
Yeah.
Again, all thoughts running through my mind as we're exiting and making our way. And I think, if there's like a back street or like an alley, I don't know how the, you know, block is laid out. If there's an alley, then they would walk like to the other end of the street and come out before coming up to the main street to hail a cab.
For sure.
Because I'm not just going to walk up the side yard at the house where.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, yep. You're kind of looking or whatever. You don't see like anybody's like popping out or creeping out or anything like that. There's this street that you're on is pretty busy. So there's lots of trucks, lots of cars. There's some taxis there.
Yeah. I mean, if it looks like it's going to be easy to pick up a cab, he would step out to the street and, you know, hail a cab down.
For sure. All right. Yeah. So you hail a cab. The guy's really abrupt. He's like, where to?
Oh, yeah, I need to make it over to the Mondale Hotel.
Mondale, right away. Yeah,
and thanks.
He starts taking off. Roll me a perception check.
Perception or insight?
Perception.
Okay, it's going to be an 8.
Okay. You go down the street, and he takes literally his first right. And you start going a little bit, and you see a truck come from the street that you guys are on, where that his house is on, that comes a little bit later after you guys have actually turned and gone down the street. And you look behind you, and it looks like one of the trucks from Masterson's Lobster and Co-op. Huh. And
boy, I don't know. I'd like to say that I know what they're doing, but like, how can I know we're driving away, right?
I can also give you an and if you don't think anything.
So this is where my thought goes, right? That like, and like it's not the goon that gets out, right? Or it is, right? And it ties that together. Or it's Pete, and maybe he's coming to check up on him, right? Because they're friends.
Yeah, my and was gonna be, you know who's in the truck.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of where I was. Yeah. Either one of those things is both kind of the same thing. Yeah. So I see who gets out of the truck. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and actually they're not getting out of the truck. They're actually following you.
Oh, they're following us now.
Correct.
Oh, I see. I thought they like, we missed them and they pulled in and they were going into the house.
Yeah. No, they literally were waiting way back. Saw you.
I see. So who's in the truck then?
All right. So the guy that's driving, you realize is one of the guys that was getting one of the trucks going as they were about to all take off, or they were all taking off while you were talking to Peter Johnson. But he never got into a truck. That's because you must think that's who Peter Johnson was yelling at, because he is in the passenger.
So Pete's in the passenger seat.
Correct.
Well, I don't like that at all.
All right. I hate to ruin the momentum, but I think I want to call it there.
It feels like a good spot to call it.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.
Yeah. Because I was like, we could continue, but I feel like that's a good cliffhanger to be like, oh, this is what's happening. Boom.
It gives me some time to ponder.
Exactly. You'll have lots of questions and it'll be nice.
Yeah. Well, so I'm just going to finish making this note.
Yep.
Okay. So either he didn't trust me, which that's fair, and wants to, see what's going on, or because I passed the insight with a yes and he said he was friends with Danny. Not that he couldn't be bought off, right? I mean, maybe he's a super good liar.
Yeah. Or he could be really good at, or he really thinks that he's friends with him.
Right. So I think probably what happens is I tell this guy to then take us somewhere else, because obviously we're not leading them to where he's at.
Yeah.
And maybe I have him take us to the police station and then see what they do.
See what happens.
Right? See, right? Because then either they confront us and say, well, what are you doing? Or they drive on, and now I'm on the lookout for a Masterson's truck. Of course, if we go there, they're like, well, what are you doing here?
I'd like to report. I don't know what I want to report.
Well, it creates its own set of problems, right? Like, if he doesn't want to involve the police, then this almost necessarily then involves the police. It's like, well, I was being followed. Why are you being followed? Well, I'm looking for this guy, which I think I told him I was looking for somebody anyway.
Oh, yeah, you did. You didn't say in what context, but you said that you were.
Yeah. But that may force them to intercede. So you don't necessarily want that. So I probably have him take us to a public place, because the chance for violence is less in a public space, right? Not knowing what their intentions may or may not be. Yeah. See, that fucking threw me for a loop, because I feel like the mafia guy knew where he was and missed him. So how, Carson found out that they were coming, right? Like, that's, unless they went to Master, like, who knows, right? If they went to Masterson's and then Pete called them and said, hey, so there's somebody looking for you, you got to get the fuck out of here. And then they went, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, who knows, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like.
I do.
Well, yeah, I know, that they went there and then went out, right? But maybe not, right? Because obviously the guy went on the boat after we were on the boat. You know what I mean? So then that makes it feel like they didn't, but somebody found the place first. I mean, he didn't toss his own place. that doesn't make any sense. He would just, take the shit out of the safe and leave. Yeah, I don't know. I might have to kill a couple of people. That's how you do these kind of games, right? You just murder a bunch of people and set shit on fire.
Yeah, that's right. Is that what it is? Hey. Yeah, exactly. Problem solved.
Shit, I don't know. I don't know.
I've got you on your toes, and that's where I wanted you the whole time.
Yeah. Shit, I don't know that I snagged all my XP. I think it was at least 6.
Yeah, I was going to say, it gotta be, because it was a lot. Yeah, every time you rolled, you got... Well, no, one time you missed.
Yeah.
An XP. But yeah, at least 6.
Did I learn anything? You get XP for shit like that, too.
Do you learn anything?
Right? Secret uncovered, that kind of thing.
Trying to think of what you've uncovered so far.
I mean, it is an investigative game, so that one might be kind of cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you're there quite yet. Because you've learned some things, but nothing
definitive.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. More questions than answers.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fair. So I have 38 XP.
Jesus Christ, why aren't you spending it?
I don't really know what to take, right? Like, all of my stats are at 3. My investigation...
Well, if you have to kill somebody, you put it all in shooting.
Yeah, right? But narratively doesn't make sense. Well, I mean, it could, right? I mean, he was in the war, right? My investigation's at 2. My fast talk is at 2. My persuasion's at 2. My awareness is at 2. My insight's at 2. My research is at 2, which is not insignificant.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't want it to be, you don't want it to be so easy that it's not a challenge either, you know?
Or if I'm going to spend XP on something, I want it to be narratively appropriate. So like, what have we seen him do? What makes sense for the character? I mean, we could, you know, skills that you have already, I guess you could make better because you're using those skills. So I could see bumping stealth. I could see bumping, you know, firearms. Again, not that he's used a pistol a lot within the context of the narrative, but also like being in the military, right? Like,
yeah,
you know. Right. He's not a stranger to a firearm, right? And even though we don't see everything, although we almost see everything, he, you know, probably has to qualify, right? Like, or he probably at least practices every once in a while, go to the range and, you know,
oh, for sure,
you know, hang out with Brian. They spend an afternoon, you know, they, you know, plunk a couple of targets and, you know, kind of keep him in practice, right? Because like, if he has to use a firearm, things have gone horribly wrong and you don't want to miss, right? Like,
exactly. Yep.
So maybe I'll bump those, but I don't think there's any like other skills that make sense necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you've got all the necessary things really that you need for this campaign, at least.
Yeah. 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 And yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
But so it almost begs the question, like, you know, when you get to a certain point, what do you use your XP for then? You know,
I mean, so if you save enough XP, like, I don't know that 38's enough to raise a stat 3 to a 4. But if you want to get more dice, obviously you're going to bank a lot of XP. Me personally, I always gravitate towards having a lot of skills. Not that it matters so much in core, right? Like, as a person who exists in the world, you can drive a car. You don't have to have driving as a skill, like Call of Cthulhu, right? I'm not going to like, you know, Tokyo Drift. I'm not going to like be successful in a car chase, but I can drive a car, right? Mm. So you can do almost anything in character because you're a person who exists in the world. You can do stuff. You know, I can go to the library and try to research something. I may not find it because I suck at researching or whatever, but you still make a roll and you might succeed, right? The librarian helps you with a useful bit of information or whatever. You find the book and the end is they, you know, oh yeah, on this page, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or there's this other news or, oh, you wanted that. Oh shit. I have these 4 other things that you might want to look at too. Right.
Yeah.
So it really kind of depends, I guess, on how you want to shape a character then. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what are the important bits? And then those are the things you want to put skills in that you want to be more successful at. So yeah, I'll probably bump some of these things and then just still have a bunch of XP left over.
Yep.
Right. Cause like, if it was COC, like you could have cop talk, right. Which would make sense. But I also feel like that would fall either under fast talk or persuasion as well. Right. Like I don't, or not, no, that was a Trail of Cthulhu, right? Or Fear Itself at Cop Talk.
Yep.
Gumshoe has Cop Talk, which would make sense, but I don't know, like, do we need to call that out as a skill, right? Like,
yeah, not necessarily, no, because, yeah, you're using all these other skills to basically make that what it is, so.
Right, kind of modify the persuasion. Like, I have law, I have streetwise, I have, like, those other things. It's like, I'm making a persuasion, you know, using a rationale of law to try to convince you to, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there may be other games that are associated with core that you might have a specific thing that's like, okay, well, this thing is in space, so we're going to have technology be a thing, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, but, you know, there's, you know, something like this, there's all, it's all a lot of real world skills. So it's like, yeah, you don't have to have too many specific skills, because again, you're going to have those couple of things that are going to be able to get you through, you know, like your campaigns or whatever.
Yeah. Most of your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have to get too specific.
Yeah. So in retrospect, I guess what I didn't hear him saying was, get the truck, we're going to follow that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like he makes that connection as we're driving.
Yeah, for sure. Yep, I gave you a chance. You know now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it necessarily would have changed anything. I mean, I had asked him for the address and phone number, so it was...
Yeah, he knows where you're at.
Pretty clear where we were going. I wouldn't have necessarily been looking for a truck from Masterson's.
Yeah.
Especially seeing as they have a, you know, space here. If it was parked closer, maybe, right? Like, well, why is that parked in front of the house, right? Or like up the street or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was something he would have picked up on necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. You're looking for the other guy. It's like all of a sudden you're like, why do I need to be looking for this truck now all of a sudden?
Yeah.